E aí, galera? O programa de hoje é oferecido pela BJJ Flix. A BJJ Flix vai ser a maior multiplataforma do mundo de conteúdo voltado para o jiu-jitsu. Serão programas ao vivo, minisséries, entrevistas, dicas empresariais, dicas de saúde, vídeos de técnicas, podcasts e até aula de inglês para jiu-jitsu. A BJJ Flix vai ter a versão em web e os aplicativos para Android e iOS, que é para quem usa o iPhone. O MMA Hoje vai estar lá também. A gente vai ter conteúdo exclusivo para todos os assinantes. Então acompanha a BJJ Flix aí pelo site www.bjjflix.com e nas redes sociais, o Instagram e Facebook é @bjjflixbr e o YouTube deles é BJJ Flix. Valeu? Ó, o programa de hoje é um daquelas resenhas clássicas com a participação de Ed Bravo, Dean Lister, Dennis Kang e a nossa companheira de resenha, que não pode faltar nunca, Rose Grace. Espero que vocês gostem. Vai aí. Eddie, how you been?
I've been, you know, as good as you can be during the Black Plague. Everybody's dying.
Oh, shit, everybody's dying. It's a pandemic. It's just horrible. I'm glad you're safe at home, as you can I can see, so then you don't get the virus.
I stay home to save lives.
Shit. You guys alone, open yet?
Alone together. Alone together. That's my favorite one. Alone together.
Alone. I haven't heard that one. Alone together.
Oh my God, they got it.
I swear to God, I didn't.
There's a billboard on a major freeway out here in LA. Big billboard, and they've had it for 6 months. Like, whoever's paying for that, it says, wash your hands, stop the spread, hashtag alone together. people love that shit. Like,
I remember right at the beginning, the wash your hands thing. It was like, hey, make sure you wash your hands. It's like, you should be washing your fucking hands all along. Nothing new about that.
This is lagging way too much.
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. He's what are you up to?
I was gonna go to my boys' baseball practice, but the air quality from all the climate change is too bad, you know.
The so climate no change
starting all the fires.
Oh shit! On top of COVID, you got the fires there now, right?
Yeah, man.
Is the sky purple and green and gray, whatever the
it's color? Just smoky. Real smoky. Yeah. It's crazy. Climate change, man.
No shit. Hey, how are you guys gonna do the fight companions now? Never again, right? You gonna fly to Texas to do it?
No.
I was heartbroken. I was like, what the fuck? What about the fight companions? I don't care where he lives because podcast. I was like, what about the fight companions? Shit.
We've done enough. We've done a whole bunch of them.
I did. I'm doing like a fight companion online kind of thing. It's in Portuguese, right? So I had a, remember that guy, Fabio Maldonado, used to fight on the UFC?
Was he a boxer mostly?
Yes. So he jumps in. We were watching Neiman's Gracie fight on Bellator. And he jumps in with the UFC, the volume turned loud enough that YouTube capture, it fucking shut down the whole live. I got a strike on my channel. It's a nightmare.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we'll do one a year.
What's the fight companion?
You don't know what a fight companion is, Rose? No, you don't need to know. Then you don't need to know.
Okay.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. They get together to watch the fights.
Well, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Can you show the fights? No, right?
You can't.
No.
So what you do is you watch it. It's live. You're watching at home. You turn down the volume, and then you listen to the live stream podcast, like Joe and me and Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen talking shit.
Yeah.
Talking about anything but the fights.
But the fights, right? It happens. It happens with me too. It's we talk about everything. We have Paddy Pano, Martha Cruz.
Is it like the one I came in one day?
Yes, you jumped in another show.
And yeah, I was watching.
Yeah, you were watching something on YouTube, like
they're
a
like,
singer
that is something about the fight. I was like, what fight? They're like, oh, watching the fight. And I was watching a concert on YouTube. I was like,
Rose,
oh, I'm watching.
Rose jumps in on the fight companion, which I have a different name in Portuguese. And she's there for 30 something minutes. And some guy say, wow, what a knockout. She's like, what knockout? I was like, Rose, we're all watching the fights. She's like, what fights?
Oh God, yeah, that's too much. So what? You don't believe in the climate change? Tell me what your version of this is. Because every time I believe
whatever Hillary believes in, I believe on the other side. I believe the other side.
I have an idea. Should we get started? Should we get started? And when the guys come in, they come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's fine. That's yeah. fine.
I'm just going to say hi. All right. All right. We here. We live. Rosie.
Rosie. What the heck?
Well, I said that. I said, Rosie.
Porra.
Mr. Eddie Bravo. Thanks, man, for coming back.
Hey, thank you, man. Hey, Rose, what did your grandfather call you?
Rosie.
Rosinha.
That's a good name.
I still have a lot of people in my family call me that. Because my grandma Rose was Carlos's daughter. She was Rose. And then they call me Little Rose. So, Rosinha.
Yeah.
Rosinha. Say it slow.
Rosinha.
I like that.
He had bad intentions on his look. He was like, say it again, loud and slow.
Hey, you know, that's something you could say, like, if you go to the clubs and there's a lot of chicks, like, ooh, look at all the Rosinhas. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Mad Rosinhas.
It's a mad Rosinhas.
Get here now, mad Rosinhas.
My dad calls me Morena. So he always says that, Morena. Doesn't call me or my sisters by the names. He just calls us Morenas, which is like darker skin. That's it.
Okay.
But tell me about the climate change. Don't believe in it? What's the deal?
Whatever Hillary is saying, I believe the opposite. So I believe she's for taxing everybody to clean up or to save us from global warming. I believe she believes that. So I believe the other side. Whatever the other side is saying.
So whatever Hillary's saying, you're going against that.
Exactly. Like
just the total 100%. Opposite. Yeah, that makes kind 100%. Of sense.
Did you see that Trump
wants to do like a debate with shit.
Right.
With the other guy and have Rogan as a host.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Biden won't do it, though. Biden, he would never do that.
Biden. Oh, yeah. He would never do it. I saw Joe Rogan's Instagram. He was like, yeah. What is the word we're living on? Because it was like Trump wants to do a debate with Biden and Joe Rogan needs to be the host. I was like, holy shit.
I think that actually.
That'll never happen.
No. I don't think.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think Rogan will go for it either.
No, he'll do it. Rogan will do it. He already said it. He has.
Oh, really?
To, you know? But it's not going to happen anyways.
No.
The most that will happen is you know Trump would be on JRE, which would melt the internet. You know.
That would be fucking amazing. That would melt the internet. That would definitely do it.
Joe Biden on the Joe Rogan show?
No.
Trump
on the Joe Rogan show.
On the Joe Rogan show. Yeah.
Oh, that would.
Joe
be
Biden
good.
Would never go on. Joe Biden would never go on that podcast.
Is Joe Rogan pro Trump or does he not have a side?
He's never said he was pro Trump, but he's definitely he talks like
good
he says
stuff
some
about Trump.
Funny shit about Biden. He clearly. Doesn't think Biden should have been the representative for the Democratic Party. He definitely thinks that.
Listen, I was talking to a guy the other day and he was like, well, but Biden's going to be better. I was like, Biden's like 90. He's not even going to finish the term alive. Well, but the Vice is good too. I was like, but then vote for the fucking Vice, not for Biden. Mr. Dean Lister.
E aí.
This one is going to be in English, Dean.
Eu achei que eu ouvi a voz de Ed Brach.
Ed Brach. You speak fluent Portuguese, Dean?
It does, man.
Claro, falo sim.
Yeah, we did a whole podcast with him in Portuguese, the entire thing.
2 hours.
He even makes jokes.
Olha, para iniciar a sessão, escuta, para iniciar a sessão, já iniciou ou não?
Já.
Yes, we're recording.
Bem, só para a minha música, para introduzir, para entrar.
Oh, shit.
Para lutar. É a próxima vez eu vou lutar, vamos entrar com esse na Rio, quando eu vou lutar no Rio.
That's some shit from Rio, for sure.
Oh my God.
Ed Bra, you know this music?
Dean List. Are you married yet, Dean?
I survived, bro. I made it through and I survived it, so I'm alive still. Yeah. And a very worthy Brazilian adversary. I survived.
It survived the Brazilian doctor who did the surgery on his shoulder and the Brazilian wife.
Mas foi a culpa de hospital, não foi culpa de o médico.
Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Mr. Dennis,
good. Is
back now. There you go. Now we can hear you.
Now we can hear you. Look at that.
You guys are still lagging. I can hear you fine. The video is kind of lagging, but whatever.
Well, okay. Drop the phone a little bit.
Drop the phone sideways.
I'm just
driving. Hold on. Let me switch lanes here. No, I'm just kidding. I parked.
Just turn the phone sideways a little bit.
Aqui,
there you go. So Dean already came in, already putting some of the old Brazilian funk in here. Dói tapinha, não dói. Can you believe this?
Nice.
He already played the song. He already played the song. So he can show Eddie that he speaks Portuguese.
Dude, Violet Funk is the shit. I love Violet Funk.
I want to show Eddie.
Show Eddie.
Violet Funk got the best beat.
I have to translate for Laranja sometimes. I have to translate for him, you know? No, actually, he speaks good Portuguese. Of course, he's, you know, from Brazil. But, you know.
I did a show with him. It was super funny.
Oh yeah, for sure, absolutely.
When I thought about bringing the three of you guys together, I was thinking ADCC, São
Paulo.
Not
Renato Laranja. Why?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Renato Laranja. It was ADCC, São Paulo, and how much all your individual lives have changed since that happened, since ADCC São Paulo happened. So, Dean, what has happened in your life since ADCC São Paulo, that ADCC that I think the three of you competed in the same time, correct? The same weekend?
Yeah.
Yes. So tell me a little bit, Dean, what happened with you since then?
Well, it was weird. Like, there was, there were girls who wouldn't talk to me that morning, but then that night they were like, hey, you want to have a drink? You know, you want to go out? You know, what's up? I like you a lot. I've studied your career. I'm like, okay, this is kind of interesting. Like, that was me coming from, let's say I was a North American champion, which is of course good, but then I was ranked like, I don't know, all of a sudden I was considered the champion. So it was good. It was a good increase of just game or just lifestyle. It was interesting, you know. Yeah, I had good time. I had good times in Brazil,
bro. But from what can I say something? Like, you won the absolute, right? But before that, you didn't win your weight division, right?
Yeah, that's why it was.
So you came out of nowhere, man. Like, I remember watching, and I was like, I think I saw you against Nate Marquardt, and you got him in that bottom triangle to Kimura. Remember?
Yeah, that's
I remember. Right. Yeah, and I was holy fuck! And then you went on to beat Cacareco. You got, I think, Jean Olav Inemo. I think what's his name? Comprito even. Or maybe beat him. I can't remember.
It was close. It was Nate Marquardt and Saulo Ribeiro, who was
yeah, that's tough. Right.
And then it was Pedro Pano, and then it was Cacareco, or Alejandro Ferreira is his real name. But you know,
that's right.
It's very strange. Actually, it was the turning point of my life was that day, because the way I lost to Janji the day before was I made a mistake in the sit through. I looked the wrong way. You know what I'm talking about. I'm looking, sit. I looked the wrong way. Now he's north-south, I mean. and just smashed me.
Yeah.
So we were 0-0 until that moment, and then 8-0. He wins 8-0 because of one mistake. Against someone like that, you can't make a mistake. And then the next day against Petapana, who's bigger than Janji, I did not make the mistake. I ran around him like 3 times. I got his back. So that's like in one day I learned from one mistake, and I lost one day and I won the second day because of the same exact side, same position, same move. So it was a good day. It was a good day
and
for me.
And Petapana won the weight class. You won the absolute. Yeah.
So up to that point, you're pretty well known just in the U.S., and you're saying that in Brazil you got well known after that ADCC. Is that it?
Well, you know what?
Or just the chicks?
Well, you know, because
that's all that matters, really.
Yeah. So, you know, when I was younger, you know. No, I was, you know, so for me to go to Abu Dhabi, it was kind of like, I was like, well, I could put my car payments on my credit card, or I could stay here and not go. I'm going to take a chance. I put my payments on my credit card, which is not a smart thing to do, but I'm like, I'll take a chance. And I went to Brazil, it paid off, you know. So it was like, I wasn't doing that well financially. And then from there, I went to Pride. I fought in Japan. I fought in the UFC later. And I won Abu Dhabi 2 more times. So, you know, it was good, like a good decision for me to go, actually, you know. Yeah.
But that was your first Abu Dhabi?
No, my first Abu Dhabi, 2001, in Abu Dhabi. And I was a purple belt. So I got to like the quarterfinals, and I lost to Castrojão Almeida. I lost to him 3-0. He passed my guard, and I was out. And pretty much they don't invite you back a second time if you lose, unless you make it to the finals. So I had to win the North American qualifier, and you know, and so does Edgy Bra. He did also, yeah. Yeah, so it was. We were there at the same. You all were in San Diego, my city.
I was there. The I was day, there man. Too in La Jolla.
I know. I saw you. I saw. You had Dirk Terrell and a Kimura from a butterfly guard, right? Yeah. I don't know how he escaped it.
I lost to Terrell. It was a close fight, though, but I lost to Terrell.
Terrell's a maniac.
And they invited me anyways after. Yeah.
Terrell's a maniac, man.
So, Dennis, did you
I got to say, though, my fondest memory of ADCC, the weigh-ins, Eddie walking around naked.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. That's true.
Fuck naked. With Joe Rogan right beside him.
The fondest memory you have at ADCC. Tell the story.
No one would remember.
I was not walking around naked, but this is what happened. We walked in the hotel with the suitcases in our hands right during the weigh-in. We walked right in. Yeah. Their way, they go, dude, been waiting for you. Our plane got delayed. It was a mess, but I weighed in real quick and I was 8 pounds over. And they go, you got an hour and a half to lose 8 pounds. I'm like, oh, I freaked out. Holy shit. I was in the sauna, just riding the bike, just, you know, doing whatever I could, just panicking and shit. And when I got up to weigh in the final time, do you guys remember Tony D'Souza?
Yeah.
Tony D'Souza, he lives in the jungle in Peru right now.
Yeah, I know.
That guy is a legit, like, Aztec warrior. You know what I mean? Like an Inca. He's like an Inca. That guy's an animal.
I love Tony. Yeah. I love him. I love that guy.
I'm, like, freaking out about weighing in, and I got my underwear on at this point. I wasn't naked. I had my underwear on. I did get naked, but let me get to the story. So I'm freaking out, and I'm like, I wonder if I should take off my underwear to get in. And I was afraid. I'm actually shy. I don't want to walk around naked, you know. So, but Tony D'Souza was in front of me. And when he weighed in, he just took off his underwear and got like an animal. He just got on the scale naked and made the weight. And I guess everybody's getting naked. I guess it was cool. So I was right behind him. And then I took off my underwear. But when I take off my underwear, the whole Japanese press that was there, they start taking pictures of me naked. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I didn't know what to do. So I just got in a karate stance, you know, started making tough poses and I'm naked. I'd get like in a Chuck Norris karate stance. And then I get in a Jackie Chan kung fu stance.
Posing for the pictures?
Yeah. I said, fuck it.
Any problem?
Hey, they got me. But there's just one picture. There's just one picture where I went Chuck Norris, Jackie Chan, I'm a bad motherfucker. And then the next picture is like a photo shoot. I got real shy and I like covered my genitals and I had That's the picture they used for the magazine. They didn't use Chuck Norris. They didn't choose. They choose the one where I'm like all shy, both my hands covering my genitals, and I'm like, I'm scared.
Like you're embarrassed.
That's the only one where I wasn't a duck.
You didn't look scared at all.
They wanted the scared one.
That's yeah. too funny.
It's not the best time to get a picture naked when you're waiting. You're cutting weight. It's not the best time.
Man,
you know?
It's the worst.
Hey, but I made weight. So I go.
It's not a flattering moment at all.
you're like at half potential.
Yeah.
It was Tony D'Souza's fault. Was Tony D'Souza's fault. I felt like, oh, okay, I guess people are getting naked. Let's do it.
That's too good.
But Tony wasn't doing poses for sure, right? That was, you left it up to you to do the Chuck Norris. And
yeah, because I was so happy I made weight, you know, and I turned around and all of a sudden the Japanese started taking pictures from Gong Magazine. I said, fuck it, I made weight, you know. How about this?
Look, for how long were you guys in São Paulo for that? You guys, and what do you guys do like on a tournament like that? Because it's several days, right? You guys go out at night or everybody in bed 7 o'clock? You in fucking Brazil, right?
Hey, you can't talk about shit like that. But I will say, I will say that it was only like, I got there Friday. The weigh-ins were Friday. It was before, I think now it's same day weigh-ins. I'm not sure how they do it now.
It's every day.
Back then, it was day before, like on Friday you weigh in. So we got there Friday. We left Monday morning, real quick.
Yeah, I was. They kept me there a few extra days because I won the absolute. And Eddie, you weren't there when I took Scotty because I won. It was on Sunday, and in Brazil, Sunday is not a big party night, but São Paulo is a big city, so there's always something to do. Eddie, you weren't there in the group, right? The gringos. I took all the gringos to. Dennis wasn't there. I took like 8 gringos to some nightclub. And the thing is, my Portuguese wasn't so good. Everyone had cameras because half of them were videographers. We're talking to girls. I'm speaking my limited Portuguese. But I was on TV, so I'm doing okay with, you know, meeting the other gender. And
the other gender. Wow.
Hey, man, okay. 2020, man. I'm not getting in trouble for what someone's saying. I'm not going to get in trouble. All right,
you can't
whatever.
Say women?
In this case, I'm attracted to women, so yes, women, you know, and back then they identify, it's no big deal. Let's move on. Let's just get past
whatever they identify you with, you're cool with it, right, Dean? You're down.
I like girls who identify as women personally, but that's just my preference, you know. So
all right,
let's just move on, okay? So you get me in trouble. So we're talking, and actually, because a couple of the gringos, they were cameraing these girls at nightclubs. It was kind of strange. They were like, what are your friends doing? I said, they said they were only going to videotape the most beautiful girls of Brazil. Oh, really? And then I was making match. I was like a love connection type thing. I was doing good. And then Scotty from On the Mat was there. He saw the guy. What's the guy? He was the North American champion heavyweight. What's his name? Heavyweight. American
Jeff,
guy.
Jeff?
South American? No, American guy?
Yeah, that year. North. Oh. It was.
Big country?
The guy from Henzo's?
No, no. Oh my goodness gracious! I'll figure it out. I'll look it up on the internet. But he got drunk and was like, he saw some Brazilian guy with cauliflower ears in the nightclub and grabbed his ears. And the guy was an off-duty cop, and the guy pulled his gun.
Oh, was this Scott White, the guy from Oregon?
Yeah, it was White. It was White. Yeah.
Is it White? Something's White.
Yeah.
Someone White, maybe.
The cop. Yeah. Now I didn't see him pull the gun, but I saw him outside pointing the gun at us through a window. So the guy was so angry because, you know, if you go to Brazil, let's say in the world, don't go to someone you don't know and grab their ears. It's kind of a strange thing.
Mike Whitehead. That's what it is.
That's what it was, Mike Whitehead. And so he almost got a shot. And so now the bouncers are like, you got to leave now. I told the cop, just let you guys like live and leave. He's not going to call his friends. What the fuck happened? But so Mike Whitehead cock blocked everyone that day, unfortunately. But yeah, that's the first time I had a gun pulled on me. You know,
I heard something about somebody getting thrown in the pool somewhere.
I heard that too, but I forget.
It was at another nightclub, at another type of nightclub.
Another type of nightclub.
Okay.
I wasn't there. I just heard.
So Dean's life changed significantly because he got to fight in Pride, but the amount of women that he got after ADCC 2003 has been insane. So
no, I'm not saying that. It depends, you know. You know, oh, by the way, guys, cala a boca, mulher. Que isso? Você gosta? eu vou tocar essa música mais uma vez, ok? Tocar essa música mais uma vez.
Sim, se enxerga, por favor, se enxerga, vai. Let's continue. Okay, so what about you? Dean talks so much shit. Oh my God. Yeah. Dennis, how about you? What changed for you the most since that ADCC, and how was it for you?
Well, it was just, you know, I was still pretty young. I think I was younger than both of you guys. So honestly, yeah. I was just kind of happy to be there. The biggest thing I remember is it was like a who's who of MMA. I just remember being in the sauna cutting weight with Matt Lindland. And, you know, at the time, Matt Lindland was like a pretty big deal in UFC. So I just remember saying, hey, I'm a big fan. And he just looked at me like I was just some paparazzi, like, okay, cool, nice, good, thank you, yes. And then I just felt kind of silly. But, yeah, it was good. It was good. It kind of opened my eyes to what was out there and the potential, you know. And it was just cool to just make new friends, you know. I mean, just to see everybody there. And, I mean, that was – Eddie Bravo submitted Hoyler Gracie. Dean won the absolute. Marcelo Garcia came out in that tournament. You know what I mean? Like, it was just MMA history, right? It was just crazy. Really cool to be there.
You had Ricardo Arona. I'm reading here. Ricardo Arona doing the super fight with Mark Kerr.
I warmed up Mark Kerr. I warmed him up. No, the Brazilians wouldn't touch him. By the way, yeah. Kang knows this. Eddie Bravo knows this. And, you know, I'm very pro-Brazilian. But if you're in Brazil and you're competing against Brazilians, not a lot of people like they don't want to like associate with you for some reason. So Mark Kerr's brother asked me, hey, can you warm up? And I already lost. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll be in the absolute tomorrow, but probably not. So I warmed up Kerr, and Kerr was like, you know, God bless him. He was going through a hard time, and you know, he was slow, but you know, he's still one of the better guys in history if you look at what he's done.
Yeah.
And he was like, I warmed him up, and Arona beat him like 5-0 or something, just took him down over and over. And the Brazilians were throwing their shoes at him. They were throwing their water bottles at him and stuff like that. So Brazil is not a place you want to get on the wrong side of people. You
remember
know?
Remember Jeff Munson taking off his trunks and stripping like naked?
That. That was right before my match with Salo. Yep.
Jeff Munson, what?
Yeah. What tunnel. Is it with ADCC 2003 and people getting naked? Yeah, I think Munson. Jeff is one of my best buddies, by the
first.
Way.
I was first.
Munson's awesome. Yeah, I know Munson.
He's the pioneer.
Munson, my roommate. So he
yeah,
lost
me too. Him. Yeah. See, he wasn't happy with the decision, course, like, and he took off his shorts and threw them at the judges.
He
got booed too.
He got naked, which people think in Brazil they have no, you can't be naked in Brazil. It's like a crime, you know. So
yeah,
so he got naked going it down means you're... the tunnel. Well, he threw his wet, soggy underpants up and it
no,
landed
his
like
shorts, his underwear.
Yeah, shorts.
He threw,
yeah,
not his socks, someone, his underwear.
Someone's like lap, like in the crowd, and the police were gonna arrest him. Salo, actually, to his credit, is the police don't arrest him. He's sad and he's upset. And Salo is one of those guys you do not want to be 0-0 with Salo in overtime. That's like the worst thing to be with Salo. He usually wins, you know. So he was in a situation that was like 0-0, and Salo won by I forget an advantage or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, naked Abu Dhabi, exactly.
Get Abu Dhabi.
Hey, one more story. One of the coolest things I saw was in my dressing room. There was this little kid who was just sitting up against the wall with his knees to his chest, biting his fingernails. And I thought, oh, this must be someone's little brother, you know, just here supporting. And then I see him out there on the mats and he's beating Shaolin. And it was Marcelo Garcia.
Oh, shit.
Like he just looked so young. And he came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? To beat everybody that year. It was amazing.
He looked like 17. He looked like 17 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sitting there like this, biting his nails, all nervous. And then just walking through everyone, you know? That arm drag, funny. The back take was just amazing. You know?
He got 3 out of 4 of his submissions, of his match by submission, me too. And then also when we both retired, or not retired, 2011, we were both, it's kind of, I guess we're the only two people that were champion for eight years apart, you know? Because I don't think anyone's, me and Marcelo have done that. More focusing on Marcelo right now. But he would get 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4 submissions typically. He's a very high finisher, very dangerous guy, very, very complex style, but he makes it sound very simple when he talks. He's very good teacher as well.
Yeah.
And also very
explains
humble
it
guy.
Very well. I agree.
Yeah. Very humble guy too. Yeah.
Dennis, did
you
have to
Eddie,
do trials?
Eddie, you were
in
my dressing room, remember? Oh, sorry, Rose. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Did you have to do trials in Canada or no?
Yeah, I won the Canadian trials, And then I went to the San Diego trials, and I won the first match, and then I lost the second match to Terrell. But then Terrell's they invited tough. Me anyways. Yeah.
Terrell's tough, man. Yeah. By the way, Terrell is one of my nemesis, you know, like competing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Very tough guy. Yeah.
He was tough. So,
yeah. And you and Eddie were in the same dressing room, right, Dennis?
Yeah. Eddie, remember, we're talking to what's his name? Joachim Hansen. He was doing that crazy back take from half guard. I remember
that. We were going over some techniques, me and Joachim
and John Olave Nemo. Whatever happened to that guy, by the way? He was doing – he won his division, I think, by doing that same weird back take, right? Like super – like from close guard or half guard. It was weird.
Yeah, he beat
he did a little MMA, but
yeah,
then
that's right.
I kind of lost track of him. I don't know what happened.
But yeah, I remember he tried MMA. He wasn't that good at MMA, but yeah.
I remember Matt Lindlin at cutting weight too. You know what I remember vividly about him? What I remember about him is it was the first time I seen someone in the sauna using a credit card to scrape the sweat off.
That's a wrestling thing, yeah. Oh. I might have learned that event too. Yeah,
I've never seen that before. And that stuck in my head. I'm like, look at this.
This is to prove how old we are. People would also use cassette, like a cassette case, to scrape it off. I've seen people use that.
Yeah. A Betamax. Betamax.
Does that even do anything? Nothing, right?
Well, no. It gets it off your skin, so it makes
you. He's a farmer now, I think.
When you have like little like grams to cut, it makes a difference.
It's like
it does something. Yeah.
Yeah. It adds up.
Those guys do it to this day. I saw not too long ago, this guy just came out of sauna. The guy was with a credit card, just like kind of scraping.
Or your hotel room key or something.
Yeah.
Hey, quick story about Lindlin, because I know him also. Like, I might know him better than – I'm not sure who knows him better, but I know him. I even trained him for one of his fights a long time ago when he fought Mike Van Arsdale a long time ago. I'm also friends with Mike Van Arsdale. Like, it's crazy. So he apparently when he's in the Olympics before MMA – he was facing, I think, some kid from Portugal, and the kid was like a model. The kid has like a perfect face, and Lindlin didn't like that. So Lindlin like cross-faced him, and the guy needed a surgery on his face. I think it ruined his modeling career. No, like he didn't like that. You know, the kid's too pretty, you know. He ruined his modeling career, apparently. Or the kid had braces. I think the kid had braces or something, and just ripped his face apart.
That's what happened to me, too. My modeling career got ruined after MMA.
I'm still a chin model, you know?
No big deal.
Don't you have a brother that's a model, Dennis?
Yeah. Model actor. He's more of an actor now. But he started off with modeling in Korea. He's way better looking than me. Like, I don't know what happened to me.
Dennis, isn't it funny? Rose last time was making fun. She said, hey, man, your ears got smaller. I'm like, no, my head and my neck got bigger. So that's what happened.
Bigger,
like, come on now.
He's got little tiny ears now. Look at that. They're just poking out like this, like a tiny little thing in there.
Well, you can show me your ears, host. I want to see your ears. You have cauliflower in it? Oh, little pretty ears.
How do you say cauliflower ears in Portuguese?
Pretty ears.
Orelhas. Orelhas de cauliflower.
De legumes.
Orelhas de cauliflower.
I don't think cauliflower. I don't think we – do we call that?
Broccoli.
Broccoli.
Cauliflower.
No, Aurelia I don't think we call them. We just say fucked ears. Fucked up ears.
Yeah, fucked up ears.
Someone, and then, when I did a podcast with Rose's father, someone asked me to ask Master Horion why his ear is not like that. He's going to be super excited to answer. I never got to it, but
I already know what the answer is going to be. He says, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing.
Oh, that's what it is?
I know what I'm doing.
but the truth is some people are genetically – some people like you look at some guys, they get cut very easy. Some guys,
you see some white belt with the ear like fucking like swollen after one.
Man, I didn't get cauliflower ears like 7 years in, I didn't get them at all. And then one day it just happens a little bit and then it just grows, just becomes a target. And then it hurts a lot actually at the beginning.
Dennis,
show your ears, Daddy.
Dennis, do you pass to the right horn?
What an awkward conversation, right? Like, let's see your ears, Eddie.
My ears?
Yeah.
I pass to my left more. Yeah.
Oh.
So I pass to your right more.
Yeah,
I shoot on this side, so it's from shooting, right?
Oh, there
this
we go.
One is bad.
Partially right.
Right? But this one just lost all definition. This one is bubble gum, right?
There we go. As you brought. What about your ears, as you brought? That's your prop.
You know what? I would say in my jiu-jitsu career, while I was training, I used headgear like 90% of the time. Really? I was into protect because, you know, when you're single, you know, you don't, and you're trying to find a wife, you know, if your ears are all fucked up and they don't know anything about wrestling, they think like, damn, was your friend in a burning, did he get burned? Was he an accident? I've had girls like ask me about friends that I have that have like Randy Couture ears. And I've seen action, so I'm like, damn, I better wear headgear. I don't want that.
In Brazil,
reaction.
This was a thing, right? Like people actually like the cauliflower ears.
Yeah, but you know what? I mentioned that too. Some guys in Brazil
I do have cauliflower ear now because I would get lazy sometimes, and my ear is like it's not like BJ Penn, but it's both my ears got some damage, and also like when I was training for Metamoris. During the whole training camp, I had a big problem with my ear blowing up. I had major cauliflower ear. Wow. I was going to do that match with a headgear on. It was that bad. But I drained it like 20 times. Yeah. It just kept coming back. So, like a week before Metamoris, it just stuck together and healed. So I didn't have to wear headgear after all. But that's
how was your
want to delete from your memory.
It's interesting to how focused you guys are on the chicks. It's pretty impressive. How are you thinking about the chicks at all times? You
know. Hey, girls think about, you know, come on, girls. They maybe don't say it as much in public, but yeah, you know, it's human nature, you know.
It's always wearing makeup.
Exactly. What's up? High heels, you know, what's up, man?
Yeah, I wear makeup. I love makeup. I love makeup. But okay, but I'm not doing it for you guys. I do it for me. But it's all good. Oh.
Well, I can get coffee for myself. That's why I get it. Yeah.
So, we're just trying to survive. So
let's get Eddie to talk about his journey after the Abu Dhabi. It's kind of well known. We talked about it a little bit, but it was after that Abu Dhabi you came back and you were like kind of like say, oh shit, people know me now.
I was working as a comedy writer for Comedy Central at the time when I went to Sao Paulo, and I hated it. It was horrible. I was working for The Man Show while Joe Rogan was the host. I was one of the writers, and it was just a horrible job. I mean, it was hard. The show was going to get canceled. It was horrible. I didn't know what I was going to do because I'd quit my strip club DJ job to write for Comedy Central. And right away, I made a mistake. I'm like, fuck, I shouldn't have quit that goddamn job. Because Comedy Central sucked.
Strip club DJing sounds amazing, yeah, man.
I want to hear the voice. About? I want to hear the voice one time. And on that's on stage.
All right. Here we go on stage two. We got Vanilla.
So come on, Eddie. Do one time. The voice.
I just did it. I just did it.
No, we were cut off.
Dennis was talking at the same time.
Oh, all right, guys, put those hands together for Kendi.
Why are you in every strip club in the world, Eddie? Why are you in every strip club in the world? It's messed up, man.
Because, you know, that strip club voice, it's not because we like it. It's because you have to speak in a certain tone and frequency for it to cut through a club. So if you just talk like your regular voice into a mic, nobody would be able to hear you. You have to have that. You have to have that. All right, guys, put those hands together. That's the only way they're going to hear you. You got to sound stupid.
That's technical.
The technique.
Hey, Rose. Very Rose, technical. Was his voice straight up accurate, would you say? His voice?
Who?
For a strip club? Was Eddie Bravo's voice? I'm asking Rose if...
Oh, I crushed.
Fuck off, Dan.
I was crushing.
How was his voice? Was it good? Was it accurate, would you say, from what you know, or no?
Oh, my fucking God, dude.
Hey, Dean, I'll tell you. Yes, it was accurate.
No, accurate. But
I'm just kidding. I was never a stripper.
All right, listen. Hey, Dennis, do one in French. Do a strip club announcer in French.
How do you say... Hold on. Sur le bon trois, voilà. Candy.
That's Candy. It sounds more aggressive, though, for some reason.
You have to be.
It shouldn't
French
sound
is a naturally more aggressive
like he's
language.
He's announcing pride. Like, hey, here comes.
Like he's announcing pride. What ended up happening is when I got back from Brazil, I I was like, fuck that. This is a good time to start teaching jiu-jitsu. I never thought I would teach jiu-jitsu. Never thought. I thought I was going to blow up in the entertainment business. I didn't think I would ever teach. But I got a taste of it. I got inside the entertainment business, and it was fucking horrible. I hated it. I'm like, these people are garbage. So when I got back, I quit that show. I walked off that show. I told Joe Rogan, thank you for getting me this job, man. Thank you for always having my back. But fuck this place. I'm just going to start teaching jiu-jitsu, and hopefully people show up. First day, 2003, first Thursday in June of 2003, 18 people showed up, and I was like, okay, shit. I think I can do this shit.
He was your own jiu-jitsu academy already?
No. It was a place where it was a dirty boxing gym called the Bomb Squad in West Hollywood. It was just a dirty, dingy boxing club. And the guy who owned it, he asked me about 6 months prior if I wanted to teach some jiu-jitsu classes. And I was a brown belt at the time. And I thought, I'd say no. I'm like, who the fuck is going to want to learn jiu-jitsu from a Mexican, a brown belt Mexican? I go, you got legendary Brazilians all over the place. You
like a knockoff Brazilian, basically.
You had the Machados back there. You had all these Brazilians out there. I'm like, a brown belt Mexican? Ain't nobody going to show up. So I told him no.
How wrong you were.
Back from Brazil, I went back to the gym and I said, dude, is the offer still stand? And he said, hell yeah. Then I'm like, fuck, let's do it. So
nice.
That was the beginning.
That was the birth of 10th Planet.
Yeah, dirty boxing gym. Nothing in there said 10th Planet. Nothing. People would come from like Australia to check out headquarters. They'd walk in and they goes, this is the fucking maniac. Like, what is this? It looks like shit.
Eddie Bravo, I was there. I saw you teach him. You remember I stopped by one time? This back in 2006 or 7 or something. It was that little. It was on like a little, like a small, a main street, but it was like right off. It wasn't like there's a parking lot. It was just like right off the street, right?
Yeah, it was horrible. That's all I had.
Hey guys, sorry to cut you off. I gotta log off. Okay, I gotta go teach class.
Okay.
Peace. Thanks, Dennis. Okay.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, Dennis.
A plus for me. A plus.
Valeu, caras.
Valeu.
Beijo.
See you guys.
He's awesome. Boa. He's always been a cool guy, man. Always been a real cool guy. And I remember him. I don't think I even met him before the Abu Dhabi trials in 2002. Of course, I knew Eddie from, Eddie, back in the day, it would typically be all those same tournaments. You'd win your division, I would mine.
No.
Almost all the time. Yes, I saw you win. I saw you win many of the same times. Yeah, I saw you win many of the same times.
I won like 3 or something.
Okay, well
I didn't win that. Those, you know what I did win three. The trials? The Abu Dhabi trials, I didn't win that motherfucker. No, fuck that one up.
No.
But I hate to bring his name up. You know, Rose, I know you guys are having trouble, but Javi was winning everything back when I was coming up. Javi was crushing. He was my main rival. He was fucking everybody up.
Hey, what I meant, Bravo, was those three that you won, I won also alongside with you. So, and I would also do the absolute. You never really did the absolute that much, but
You know what I did? I did absolute once, and the first guy I got was a little guy, so I won. I won an absolute match, but he was smaller than me. But then the next guy I fought was this big ass Brazilian, and I got crushed. And that was it. I did one absolute my whole life at purple belt. Yeah. I'm like, fuck this.
No, but it's funny because remember the guillotine? I mean, that we know the guillotine is, but in wrestling, the guillotine is the twister. Well, the twist is more refined now. Okay, of course it is. But like when you were doing that shit, the twister, I'm like, that's the guillotine. Well, no, the guillotine is a choke, and I'm like, you know about this, Bravo, right? You've heard this, right? The guillotine was actually what it was called in wrestling. You learned it in wrestling, right? But you developed that to its next level. Like, you made things, like I've done some things that, like, I'm not saying I personally, maybe partially made leg locks a little different because it fit like a puzzle to me, you know? So I think you did something similar with the guillotine, also known as the twister now. It's named after what you said. And I did similar things with leg locks. It just fit like a puzzle to me for some reason, you know?
I never called it the twister. I didn't name it the twister. To me, it was the wrestler's guillotine. It was always the guillotine to me. I learned it in high school wrestling. But there was already a guillotine in jiu-jitsu, the front headlock. So Jean-Jacques and Higgin, they would just call it the Twist. They call, and I hated that. I'm like, why? And then they started calling me the Twister, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Don't call me no Twister. That's gross. So I said, well, how do you say Twister in Portuguese? And then he said, Tornado. I go, call me that shit. Call me Tornado.
Tornado.
Tornado. Tornado.
Call me Twister.
But then it's
Girando. Like, Tornado sounds pretty dope.
Let's see. Now I'm learning. I know that word, but Virando is the turn. Girar is to shake, right? And then
Tornado is the turn. Girar and virar is the same thing. So girar is when you turn and virar is when you turn.
And what's tornar? Turn. Tornar? Twist.
Tornado.
Like a tornado.
That's a tornado.
Yeah.
We call it a twister in English,
he's
too.
He's talking about the word tornar, which I don't know.
Tornar.
I heard that word before.
That's what I was saying.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, like
when it's the same as fucking twist, I guess. It's all the same.
No, but when you're like a woman and vice tornar um homem, when you turn into a man. Or yeah, vice versa, and so a man you turn into a woman. That's like you turn transform into it.
Yeah.
Okay. I see.
Tornar is more like transform.
Transform. Hey, so
well,
bravo.
You know what? Either way, it didn't work out, man. When people started yelling out Twister at tournaments, like because they wanted to see a Twister, they go Twister, Twister. Then all of a sudden, I was like, okay, this sounds kind of cool. All right, I think I like it, but I didn't like that name at all for like at first.
Shit, yeah, awesome. Yeah, I got you. So Bravo like and myself, it. we were in the same similar situation of there were other like guys like Terrell King, like who's just here, other gringos, of course that means foreigner, that were doing good jiu-jitsu, but it was like the politics. And by the way, Eddie Bravo, we all talked about this last time about the politics were a little more harsh back then, a little more harsh. Now it's more universal. But back then, was like, man, we encountered some crazy, not discrimination, but like some people didn't like me, really. You know, did you get any Brazilians didn't like you?
Are you fucking kidding me with Eddie?
But you know what? Okay. I don't blame them.
Besides all of them, right, Eddie?
I was young.
You know what? I was mad now, so I don't blame people for hating me back then. I was a fucking moron. I did a lot of stupid shit. You learn, and I'm 50 years old now, man. So I've learned a lot, and all this COVID bullshit, I've learned a lot from this. So, you know, I don't blame the Brazilian jiu-jitsu community for, you know, some of them not liking the way I acted. I acted like a fool. I get it, you know.
But I think that there's absolutely none of that now. Even like we were talking about people that go to Brazil for tournaments and stuff like that, there's zero animosity like it was in the early 2000s and stuff like that.
That's good to hear. You know what? I don't want any trouble.
I mean, the country, it's a whole, like the public safety in Brazil, it's a whole, its own issue. But on that side, I wouldn't say like people throwing cups. If you go to a jiu-jitsu competition there now, nobody's going to throw shit on you.
Yeah, but that used to happen.
Oh, for sure they used to happen. I can guarantee you. I know. Yeah. I know. Just for you to say, I...
Mas, irmão, você sabe a coisa que eu admiro muito... Sorry, I'll speak English. Yeah. One thing I really admire, what Eddie Bravo just said, and I try to do the same thing, it's my brother Jocko Willink wrote a book called Extreme Ownership. Because even if something's not really your fault, it doesn't help you to blame other people. You say, okay, what can I do? So he says, you know, I made mistakes. That's all you can control, you know? So even if someone's been hateful towards you, if I hate them back and playing their game, how about I learn from the situation? So I think that's awesome what Eddie Bravo said right now. That's a more constructive way of looking at the world than just blaming other people. Even if it's other people's fault sometimes, right? You have to look at yourself and say, what can I do better? You know, that's really good attitude. Edgy Bravo.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, edgy thank Bravo. You. I appreciate that. You know, I just... You know, you live and you learn. And, you know, back then I was a wild motherfucker, you know. I was Vegas every weekend, you know, partying. I was just, you know, I was single for 10 years straight. So wanted to be a rock star, trying to make it in the music business, you know, all that shit for so long. And I put it in people's faces, you know what I mean? And you know, I had too much fun, I guess. But, you know.
Hey, Eddie, you know what?
Now I'm just focused on jiu-jitsu. And, you know, like I said, all this COVID lockdown shit made me really appreciate you know, I love jiu-jitsu more than anything now. You know, that jiu-jitsu is everything. It's my life. And I just want to keep teaching and keep pushing. And I don't even care about growing anymore. I don't care if I get another school. I'm like, what I have is fine. I don't want to be a super billionaire. I don't, all that shit that I wanted before, I don't want that shit no more. I want to, you know, I want to do what most Americans want to do now. You know, they want to just move to the, you know, the mountains and be free and not be fucking tied down by all these restrictions and you can't do this and you can't do that over this. And, like, it's just fucking ridiculous. So there's a lot of good that's come from the lockdown. It really puts everything in perspective as far as what really is the most important in life, you know, and all I want to do is just raise my son, be with my family, and just be left alone. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Just want to do jiu-jitsu and not be told what to do. Like, stay here,
check it out.
Stay home, stay alive.
Your academy's open yet, Daddy?
We're closed. We, in California, yeah. We're closed.
100%? Not even? Because it started opening and it shut down again?
Well,
they open. I don't know what Newsom's thinking. They open and they close, and you know.
Okay, Rose has a way around it. It's to do it correctly, but it's right. It's hard. You can get penalized every day if you have a gym open. They can designate your academy as an outbreak center and ruin your career. You know, they can do that. So right now we're closed as well. Rose has a way to, I guess, do it correctly though, right, Rose?
Yeah, I mean, there's ways you can do it, but there's a couple of gyms here in Long Beach that are completely open, like normal business, nothing. They just check the person's temperature when they get to the door, and then they go in, they train as much as they want, separate people in the classes and which hours they're in, and all that stuff. But you should be able to have it open because gymnastics places are open, like all these places are open, so you could technically open it.
Yeah, my daughter's gymnastic place just opened. She went to the first class yesterday.
I want to make a bet with you both versus Edgy Bravo. Edgy Bravo. I bet Edgy Bravo gets in this car by himself and puts his mask on when he drives in the car, right? Right, Eddie?
No, just he doesn't.
I'll
bet.
You got to be safe. You got to be safe, Eddie. Okay, in your car by yourself. How about when at home, you should have a mask on at all times, and you should sleep with a mask on, right?
What's up with these people driving? What's up with these people driving alone in the car wearing a mask, too? That's
I've
like
seen it.
So
I don't know.
Beyond.
Hey, Eddie. Eddie, what's your opinion on this?
They're heroes.
Heroes.
Yeah, you don't care about old people?
What's the quote from the outdoor?
Outdoors, listen, in my opinion.
Alone together. That's going to be the title of this this podcast.
Alone together.
I love that one. Alone together is awesome.
Alone together.
Brilliant.
Yeah. That is creepy. You saw the CDC sent out a statistic that 6% of the recorded deaths are actually from only COVID. The rest were comorbidities, which means someone had a cold and COVID, and someone had a heart attack and COVID, or someone had a gunshot wound and COVID. You know, so it's not 200,000 people died from COVID. It's something like between 10 to 60 or something. I mean, it's not 200,000, you know, and that's from the CDC. That's not like some manipulated number, you know. So I don't know, man. Like I know.
Do you
it exists.
Think the CDC is a manipulated number at all?
Well, I don't know. It's something that it's more trustworthy than just some rumor, you know. It's better information than like something if someone just says on CNN, you know. I think it's more reliable.
I think I saw someone post that on Instagram, maybe Tone de Blas or something, and and that was like an Instagram thing on top of his post saying that is the fake news. You guys seen that?
No, it's not CDC.
Like, if someone posts something, like if you put in like a news screenshot or something and it's fake, there's an algorithm on Instagram that detects that, and they check the news and they say if it's fake or not. I don't know.
Looking right now.
Who gives a fuck about this? I don't even look at any of this shit. This is crazy.
Jesus, you don't need to be that harsh, Rose. I'm just
no. It looks
yes,
real.
I do. It's so stupid. I can't even believe we're talking about this. Yeah. Eddie, is there something in your life that you felt like right now you would have accomplished that you haven't yet that you want to do?
No, not now.
Nothing. Everything done. That's pretty awesome.
I don't need anything else.
I would like to live in the farm, like you said. That's kind of where, that's the only thing I want at this point. Yeah. Go live somewhere that's nothing nearby, plant my own food, and then that's it. Disconnect from this ecosystem that we belong right now, that we are participating in.
We were talking about the Rogan moving to Texas. Is there a lot of people moving out of California like they did out of New York?
Yeah, we're just at like 1,000 per day or something like that.
Shit.
That is pretty crazy.
Dean,
is there anything that you wanted to have accomplished by now in your life and you haven't yet?
Well, the thing is, of course, a few things, but like I bought 2 houses in 2007 at the worst time, okay, historically.
No, 2007 was perfect. 2008 sucked. 2007 was the perfect time.
I forget it, whatever. It was a bad time, and then it's just life. My bicep snapped in the USC, and I couldn't work, and it was a bad financial move. I should have like fully diversified my portfolio better, you know. So, and also I got married, and you know, I would have made better decisions financially, but overall, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, I can make money, you know, especially when this stuff gets lifted, I can start traveling. I can make good money, and I can make a good future, you know.
Didn't you just have a shoulder surgery?
Yeah. Yeah.
When?
In Brazil, 4 months ago, I got the first surgery.
We talked about
podcast,
that.
Right? You just
and this surgery, I got a new one. I got a new one like 3 weeks ago. So this was done correctly. It's not infected, but it was like the more painful surgery I've had. But it's gonna heal eventually. I'll make my right arm stronger than my left, you know. And then I could go compete maybe in 1 year or something like that, you know.
Your right arm is stronger than your left?
It will be. I'm going to make it stronger. Yeah.
I'm sure you're practicing already.
What do you mean?
That don't mean anything. Okay. So
I need to answer that.
Are you taking antibiotics right now?
No. I passed that stage. I don't need it now. But okay. It was a concern. I'm fine.
So then it just there's nothing like left over wrong than like happened in Brazil, right?
No, it's just healing now. All the damage was done. Now I just have to heal, you know?
Yeah, and what I meant, because, you know, in the United States, they have better doctors and stuff, so they do a better follow-up care, so I'm sure you're taking care of that.
Yeah, for sure.
and then...
check with Eddie on anything going on with the EBI. You planning on putting a show together or anything like that?
We got our next show is going to be a combat jiu-jitsu show in Cancun, Mexico.
Ooh.
In November 27th or something.
Oh, shit.
Like the last weekend of November, we're going to do it's going to be a lightweight 155, 16 man bracket. Nathan Orchard, Wagner Horsch, Kim Terra, Jordan Hawley.
That's freaking
yeah. We're going to do that. We're going to do the 55 bracket, a lightweight championship, end of November from Cancun.
Why in Cancun? Just because it's a cool place or?
Yes,
we've done shows.
It's a beautiful place.
Okay.
Because it's a beautiful place. It's a destination. So we want to make it cool.
All the logistics and stuff like that, it makes it a little more complicated, right?
It's Brav.
No, it's cheaper.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Mexico.
Fly people to Mexico is cheaper than do a show in California?
From LA?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Hey, Eddie Bravo. Can you land a palm strike or is it a slap? Can I do like that to your face?
Yes, you can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So it's like almost like a punch. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. That's the only thing I don't. That's the only thing I don't like is the palm strikes.
The palm can knock you out.
I'm the biggest fan.
Palm can really fuck you up.
Yeah, it can break your orbital bone. It can break your nose. It can fuck you up.
Hey, every time we talk
combat. This is better.
I'm sorry, Dean. Every time we talk combat jiu-jitsu, we end up talking about that Verdun Gordon Ryan fight. Was that gonna happen at EBI?
You're the only one that talks about that.
That was going to be just a combat jiu-jitsu fight night.
Okay, he's still hoping for that one. Look at him. He's still thinking about that.
Holy shit, right?
He's still thinking about that match. He doesn't get over that.
No.
Every time we miss it.
That would be a
What match would be better than that one? I mean, what's name?
Maybe Verdun and Buchecha combat jiu-jitsu. They almost did it. Oh, it wasn't going to be a combat jiu-jitsu, though. It was just gonna be like a jiu-jitsu at that.
I think I think Verdun Gordon would be bigger than that one.
Oh,
that
would be for sure.
You throw Gordon in there, boom! You got automatic,
What would be like a prediction for that? My prediction was, if Gordon grabs a hold of Verdun's leg before Verdun punches him, right? Because that's the problem. Gordon was training striking at that time, but he totally stopped. He's not doing any of it.
Well, listen, from experience, I'll tell you, slaps, they sting more. But actually, they don't even. Okay, palm strikes can damage you, but a close fist will damage you more, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I know people say, no, they do. Trust me, okay? It's a lesser area of impact, right? These two mm-hmm. knuckles versus this. Now, this does, it's very effective,
it's
okay?
Like Bas Rutten style, no, right? Like with just.
It works, yes. But trust me, the range is not the same. And also, it's good, okay? They're very effective. But knuckles is a reason they cut you more. And they hit more like a bruise, you know, and or elbows, it's a little more harsh. So slaps actually sting more, but the punches do more damage to your face.
I feel like the Brazilians, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rafa, if you don't think the Brazilians, when we talk about combat jiu-jitsu with them, because we talk about often in here, right? And every time we mention, they feel like it would be so insulted to, they would be so insulted to get a slap that they're like, oh my God, yeah. They're, how dare a guy's not going to slap me. They
Most
feel like
those
it's
guys,
a.
Guys, they don't kind of like it. I talked to Buchecha and like.
The sport jiu-jitsu guys don't like anything that's yeah, fun. So I'm not, that's not even a consideration.
Oh, then you can just go and do MMA. I was like, well, but it's
no, we're talking about the real guys that like to go and grind, like the Shimu guys, the people that actually want to go in there and actually do it and have fun and don't care. Like there's a lot of guys in Brazil that would jump in an opportunity in a heartbeat to do something like that because it's the true essence of jiu-jitsu. These guys are like sport jiu-jitsu. They don't want anything coming from any direction. They just want to grapple and count points. That doesn't
you know,
matter. Doesn't
you know, Holst, Eddie Bravo, I'm sure he'll understand. This is one of these, he came with a rubber guard, which was awesome, is the guard. One of the main reasons of the guard is to minimize damage in a fight. Okay, so if you have a good guard, but you can't break posture, you can't, okay, you have good flying arm locks and stuff, but you can't stop someone from punching you. Your guard is not what it's meant to be. Even Hoist would, I'm sure, would agree with me. I know Hoist Hickson would agree, you know. And Eddie Bravo has the rubber guard, mission control, all these different situations. It's in the end, it's to minimize the distance that your opponent can damage you in the guard. So that's a very important thing. So combat jiu-jitsu, I think, is great. I like it personally.
Yeah, I do.
I like it too.
I like it. Too.
Combat jiu-jitsu is a real jiu-jitsu. My grandpa would have been fireworks if he saw this. He would have been blown away. I think it would be his favorite rules.
Tell me,
I don't know if he would approve the palm strikes, though. I'm going to have to say that. Yeah. But overall, he would be like, that's a man's rule right there, baby.
Eddie Bruff, I think you're similar to me. I've always, even before I was a fighter, thought about, I want my stuff to work in a fight, no matter what, you know? I'm not saying, like, to try and get into fights, even though I've done that when I was younger, which is not smart. But if your style, okay, anyone can lose a fight. You can make a mistake. But if you have a style that tends to get you more damage than not, in my opinion, it's not the right direction for fighting. And that's the actual, it's a martial art. It's meant to work in a fight. Jiu-jitsu, gentle arts. What do you think, Bravo?
Say that a question again.
I agree with you. No.
Yeah, we agree.
What'd you say, Dean?
No, he agrees. Perfect. No, I think that then. You should view your jiu-jitsu to at least be a tool to help you fight better. That's all. I'm not saying you can be the best fighter, but to be better, right? Because if you rely upon some advantage to win a match and the guy would have punched you in the face 40 times, I don't think it's a real advantage, in my opinion. Even though it is, I don't feel like I won the match personally, you know?
Okay, I'm going to change the subject completely
right
now.
You know what?
Go
ahead.
Go tell me. No, finish you saying, and then I'm gonna say something else. Go. What were you gonna say about Dean?
Me?
Yeah. What were you gonna say right now?
I'm just gonna say combat jiu-jitsu is it's right in between sub-only jiu-jitsu and MMA. That's it. There's a spot right there for it, you know, and it's right there in between. It's not MMA, but it's for guys that just want to see what jiu-jitsu works with strikes And in MMA, that's what we only had before. And many fights barely even get to the ground these days. So in combat jiu-jitsu, we have, you can only be on your feet for 1 minute. We have get downs. After 1 minute, we put you on the ground. It's all about jiu-jitsu. It has nothing to do with Muay Thai. You know, you could do some wrestling, but you got a minute. It's like, we just want, I just want data on the ground with jiu-jitsu, with strikes. That's it. Like, just let's just see what works. And it's entertaining as hell. I like combat jiu-jitsu more than MMA.
Look, and
I'm not interested in kickboxing. I already know it works. There's plenty of kickboxing shows out there. You can watch. There's a shitload of kickboxing shows. They've always been out there. Kickboxing has been around since the 70s and the 80s. It's always been there. I have nothing but respect for kickboxing, nothing but respect for boxing. I used to be a giant boxing fan. But all I really care about right now is this jiu-jitsu with strikes on the ground.
And
that's
I don't really care for boxing.
You know, and you don't really see it that much. You don't see it that much in the UFC no more. UFC has become a kickboxing
wrestling
sport with some ground stuff. Has some ground stuff, but I just want to see mostly ground stuff. That's all. And that's what combat jiu-jitsu is. You get to see ground, like you get to see jiu-jitsu with strikes. And when you say slaps and pump strikes, like that's slaps, pop strikes.
It's jiu-jitsu.
To me, that's just strikes. That's just like, there's no difference. Like to
combat jiu-jitsu is pure jiu-jitsu.
Between slaps and strikes. I think pump strikes and slaps, that's all the same shit.
I want to make a point, real quick point. And this is, I'll take accountability because I did not win the fight, okay? I faced Nate Marquardt in Abu Dhabi. I won. And UFC, he won. However, no excuses. I didn't win the fight. I got stood up 20 times. About 20 times. So the thing is, because of the rule set, it didn't benefit my style very much, you know? Plus, he's hard to take down. So I pulled guard. I did it against Sakara. I fought a guy named Alisa Sakara, a very tough guy. I pulled guard and I triangled him. And the thing is, if you have the right strategy for that and the referee stands you up every time, it's a real fight. It's UFC, it's a real fight. But it's because of the rules, it takes away from also having gloves on. You know, I can't choke you the same with gloves. You know, with no gloves, I can go on your nose, I can choke you. And everyone here knows what I'm talking about. So it's interesting how having a square ring or an octagon or how have you fought in a big solid bowl? What if I fought you in an elevator? You know, different places to fight make a different outcome. So yeah, what Rob was talking about, I think we all agree, is that if you get to combat jiu-jitsu where you focus on ground, with striking, by the way, it makes it more – it's a different sport in itself. It's a different sport completely.
Totally. It's just a little – it's a one step closer to reality. It's not one step further from reality. It's one step closer to reality. The MMA, the UFC, that's as close to reality as you can get. That's pretty damn fucking close right there. Reality is a whole nother level, but that's as close as we can get, you know. So the closest we, you know, between sub only and MMA, combat jiu-jitsu is one step towards MMA, one step towards realism.
Yeah. Rose, you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say that to me, combat jiu-jitsu is the true jiu-jitsu. Everything else is not even jiu-jitsu. That's it.
Oh, man. Thank you. I don't know if I agree with that. I love jiu-jitsu. Yeah,
but jiu-jitsu has strikes. Jiu-jitsu has strikes. Real jiu-jitsu has strikes. Yeah. So that to me, it's pure jiu-jitsu. That's just how
I
see it.
It's a different point of view because I've always trained for a fight in my whole life, my whole 25 years. I've always trained for getting punched or whatever. It's easier to submit someone throwing punches. Because it's harder to maintain correct posture. And when you throw a punch, now your arm's available if you can grab it at the right time. So if someone has trained like this for a long time, it actually benefits. There's more submissions in a way, you know? Because if you go crazy, you can fall on your face, get submitted by triangle, plata, kimura, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's harder to stall, you know? Yeah. Well, you got amahando or amasando? How do you say stalling?
Amahando.
Amahando, like amahando. Just holding someone.
Amahando.
What's amasando mean?
Like smashing.
Like, the same thing.
No. Amahando is stalling and one is smashing. Yeah.
Yeah. So someone can be amahando and amasando at the same time.
Yeah, right? They could.
Okay.
But
that's why
how would you do like, let's say like Tony Ferguson, you you show him some jiu-jitsu stuff, and you always have the striking mind, right? When you do that, because it's a totally different situation for him. Eddie?
Well, we just work on the jiu-jitsu that works with striking, you know, jiu-jitsu in the clinch. We know that if you're in the clinch, you're safe. So most of my jiu-jitsu is all clinch-based. Like, everything's off some kind of body clinch. And if you have a body clinch, you're pretty much safe. So, you know, that's what we do. We just work on body clinches. We're not actually even throwing strikes. We just know what the right jiu-jitsu is. You know, you fast forward 40 years from now. I mean, and you had to bet money on two fighters, and you knew one thing about them. You knew one thing. One fighter, he won combat jiu-jitsu worlds 5 times in a row. And then the other guy won just regular jiu-jitsu tournaments 5 years in a row. Who are you going to put your money on in an MMA fight?
For sure.
Yeah, just, sure. I mean, who knows who would win in reality, but if that's all you knew, the smart thing to do would put your money in an MMA fight. You put your money on the combat jiu-jitsu world's champion, the multiple champion, as opposed to just the regular jiu-jitsu multiple champion, which, you know, it's just real simple science, just basic math.
Do you see this Buchecha move to MMA? He signed up with 1FC.
Really?
That's awesome. And good. It's going to be awesome to see. That guy's
a great athlete, man.
Yeah.
I faced him one time in competition. We went overtime. It was a hard match. And he won. He got my back finally. I actually took him down and got mounted on him, but my foot was stuck in the leg. So I'm mounted, but my foot doesn't count. And then he bumped me over like upa or a shoulder roll. And he won, man. But he's an athlete. He's an athletic specimen. A very tough guy. Very tough guy.
Shit. Yeah. It's going to be nice. It's going to be nice to see what they do with him and, how they're going to match him up with another guy, right? I would say they're going to let the guy kind of like grow in the organization.
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's smart, though. That's smart. There's nothing wrong with that. When I was younger, I wouldn't fight the toughest guy right away, and I would do that, but it was not smart because you need to build. Like, I fought Jeremy Horn, my fourth fight. Rose was there. I got cut a lot. I bled a lot. He had over 100 fights, and I had 4 fights.
Yeah,
and I fought him again in the UFC. I won. We're one and one. But yeah, it's smart to build your career. There's nothing wrong with it.
You see what Bellator did with the kids here from Hansa, right? Hobson and Neiman. Neiman just fought over the weekend. Did you guys see that?
I didn't see it, no.
He fought John Fitch.
What happened?
Yeah, he leg locked him.
He leg locked him.
Okay.
Took him down first round and second round, and then his head coach is John Danaher now.
Really? Let me tell you something. Being a fighter for, let's say, half my career, if you're a striker and you're facing someone who is really good on the ground, okay, here's how you feel. Okay, when I was like 8 years old, there was a bully. He was like 10 or 11, so that's a big difference when you're a little kid, and he would beat other kids up at the bus stop where you're waiting for the bus. You punch people. And one time I got a rock and I held it, and he knew like, okay, he's bigger than me. He's 11. I'm 8 years old, but I have a rock though. But I know if I throw the rock and miss, I'm in trouble. So he didn't attack me because I had a rock. If I threw the rock, hit him, who knows? If I missed, I'm in trouble because I'm 8 years old. So that's how a striker feels if they have no ground. They don't want to punch hard. If they go crazy, easy to take him down, very easy. So that's how people are going to feel against Buchecha. Like, should I throw a hard punch? The harder the punch, harder the kick, the easier to take you down, you know? So that's a problem for the striker. Now, if the striker has good takedown defense and some ground, is different. But it's going to be a problem for people facing Buchecha, you know?
Yeah,
he's a good athlete, you know?
Yes, exactly. He's been training. It was funny because on my podcast, he kind of made like some sort of a breaking news, and I had no idea. So I was editing and I sent a clip to a friend, and he was like, dude, that's a big fucking news. Cause he never say, hey, I'm going to MMA. And on my podcast, he say, you know, no, I'm training. I'm just waiting for an offer. And I was like, oh, that's pretty wild. That's pretty cool. And he had this big money thing on his mind. He's like, look, I'm not going to go cheap anywhere else. Cause I know how much money. Rodolfo Vieira, he lost a lot of money making his transition to MMA. because he lost all the sponsorship.
Yeah, but he can stuff. Make a lot more money eventually. He well, can, you know. But
it's going to take like a 5-year break for yeah. making good money. It's like not everybody can afford
He's doing that. Good now, though. He beat
well,
the Polish
he's doing
court.
Okay.
Russian
guy. He's not doing – I don't think yeah. he's making like
he beat him like many,
thousands.
Yeah, but he's
making probably like, I don't know, like 50 grand.
Okay, I'm going to change subject because I feel like hitting my head in the wall right now. I'm going to fall asleep if we continue talking
Troca about sujeto. This. Troca.
So, okay. So I'm going to ask three quick questions and then we're going to go.
Rose, I got 5 more minutes. I got
to
take
Perfect. That's minutes. Perfect. 5 minutes for me too because I'm ready to go too. So, okay. So, Eddie, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite song to train to?
I don't really have a favorite song to train to.
Give me any that you're like, okay, this is a good one. We can start rolling with this.
Smack my bitch up.
Smack my bitch up. Perfect.
No, I don't know.
I like what I said.
That's Prodigy. That's a real song.
Yes. Prodigy, Smack My Bitch Up.
I've never rolled to that. I just threw that out there because I'm trying to be funny.
That's okay.
But I will say this, though. My favorite song right now today that I have like currently right now by Fantagram, it's called Destroyer. Holy shit.
I'm going to check it out.
Fantagram Destroyer.
Fantagram
oh
Destroyer.
God. You and get then, to the chorus, get to the chorus. The verses are very odd, very unorthodox, could turn you off. But if you have faith in the choruses and then you read the lyrics, that song is one of the best songs ever written.
Awesome.
So it's a Fanta what?
Fantagram Destroyer.
Stop. Got it. I'm going to check it out. Dean, yeah. Your favorite song to train for?
I'm actually going to play it right. It's actually loading right now. Ready? Here it is. Oh, no. It's 5 seconds.
You can't really play too much because then YouTube will take our channel down.
It's a song called, When the Winged Hussars arrived. It's a song about these Polish guys saved Europe from the Ottoman Turks. It's called When the Winged Hussars, Hussar, When the Winged Hussars Arrived. I can't play it. I was gonna play it right now, but thank God I didn't. And it's a cool song. It's based on history. I like it, and I'm a big nerd, so I like history, you know. Okay, and also cool. The last song last time was Sanitarium from Metallica. That's my walkout song. So yeah, there you go.
Wow. What about you, Hoffa?
I don't know. Maybe Feel by Metallica, just because it's just Metallica.
Okay, got it. Metallica's a good one. Metallica. I've been working out to George St. Pierre, so right now all I got to hear is him saying, your body is like an elastic. Your body is like an elastic. I'm like, oh, my God. So what's the craziest thing you've ever done for money? Eddie.
That's a good one.
Craziest thing I've ever done for money? I worked for a carpet dyeing company. Instead of cleaning your carpet or getting new carpet, we had dye and we'd like spray in the dye. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it did, but you got paid. It's cheaper than buying new carpet.
There you go. So great advertisement. What about you, Dean?
Well, I answered last time about the Russian story, but one I did when I was like 19 is I delivered phone books, and only for one day, and I quit because they give you like, I don't know, 1,000 phone books. It's not, but you have to drive and you have to find it. This is before Google Maps, by the way. So you had like, you couldn't even print. Yeah, I hope so. So it took me like 9 hours to do this. I had to go to this address, and I was in this is just part of the story. The area I was living to was the gay area of San Diego, and so like I was in good shape. I'm walking around, so I'm getting hit on like every 5 minutes by guys. So I'm delivering, and my back was hurting. I had these heavy phone books, like a big bag that I'm holding, walking around, and I'm getting hit on all the time in San Diego. And I made like four bucks an hour or something like that. So wow. I quit.
Did you get any free massages from those guys?
I could have, but I decided not that day.
Not
my
that
back
day.
Was sore, but I could have used it. I could have used it.
Okay. So, and then last one, but not least, what are the three things you must do every day, Eddie?
Three things, brush my teeth, take a shit, and drink a protein shake.
Okay. Dean?
I don't know. Is that a trick question?
How do you follow that? How do you follow that?
Wow. And then repeat, right?
You can't beat that ever. Nobody will ever beat that
brush,
one.
It's brush, brush, shit, shake, repeat.
It just leaves it alone. Brush, shit, shake.
Repeat. Just again.
Guy, Vidine, your turn.
If I'm going to have a good day, I have to make my bed every morning. I didn't do it today, but I have to make my bed. It's a good way just to start the day, you know? Let's see what else. I try to spend like at least 50 minutes before I do some crazy work to calm down and listen. Like, this is some calming music or watch a cool video or something like that that wakes me up for the day. And I don't know the third thing. Before I go to sleep, I try to get relaxed again just to get, you know, get in a pattern where I'm not like up. I keep the sleep pattern kind of boring, but those are a few things.
Okay. That's pretty
try perfect. To keep a sleep pattern. Yeah.
You have time for Eddie Bravo was cool. Top five? Top five?
Top five.
Eddie,
okay.
Top five jiu-jitsu.
Top five
guys.
What?
Jiu-jitsu guys. Top five.
Top five?
Any generation.
Jean-Jacques. Marcelo, Grace Gundrum.
No Tereré?
No Hicks.
What was that? Is it my favorite? You're talking about my favorite.
Your top five,
right?
Yes.
Yeah,
your
yeah,
top
yeah.
five, your favorite. Oh, okay. Doesn't have to be...
Jean-Jacques, Marcelo, Grace, Gio Martinez, and Hicks on Grace.
Yes. Hicks on...
All right. What about you, Dean?
My number one of all time person is Hales or Rolls Gracie for me. Just okay. I like his personality. And of course, most people don't know about him today. And he was one of my role models. You know, he was a great sportsman. I was trying to follow, but he competed in different styles. I looked up to that. He was very open. Hickson also, of course, Hickson Gracie. Marcelo Garcia. I always liked Jacare for some reason. I liked his energy.
Okay.
And who would be a fifth one? I like his cool guy, man.
Ronaldo Jacare?
Yeah. Ronaldo Jacare.
Okay.
Oh, Jacare.
Yeah.
I can't move right out.
And your fifth?
I don't know. Try to look at like the next generation, or maybe you could say, hold on. Rodolfo Vieira. I like Rodolfo Vieira a lot.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Perfect.
As well, guys, bridging the generations, you know. Yeah.
Thank awesome. You so much for coming today and chatting with us. I really appreciate Eddie and Dean. I love
thank
you guys.
Thank you. See you guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Eddie. Bye. Thank you.